You're listening to the Study Legal English podcast, the world's first legal English podcast, helping lawyers and law students become fluent in legal English. Hello and welcome to episode 35 of the Study Legal English podcast. I am your host, Louise, and today's episode is about the institutions of the European Union. Last week, we heard about the history and the development of the EU, and in the next episode, we'll be looking at its laws. All of these episodes fit into the English Legal System Module 2 Sources of Law course, which you can check out at studylegalenglish.com/podcast_courses. The European Union has a range of institutions which help it to achieve its objectives and through which it creates and implements law and policy, having a significant effect on its 28 member states. What each institution can do is set out in treaties, and from these, their power and limits are derived. It can get a little bit confusing as there are a number of institutions with very similar names, and it's also worth noting that many of these institutions accept visitors, so if you are interested in visiting, do a quick Google search and book a visit. Although, a word of warning, in many cases they only accept groups of 20 or more, so just bear that in mind. Anyway, let's get started. Article 13 of the Treaty of the European Union sets out the seven institutions of the European Union. These are the European Parliament, the European Council, the Council of the European Union, also called simply the Council, the European Commission, the Court of Justice of the European Union, the European Central Bank, and the Court of Auditors. Let's look at each of these institutions in more detail. Firstly, we have the European Parliament. The European Parliament is a democratically and directly elected body that represents EU citizens. It is made up of members who are known as members of the European Parliament, or MEPs, and headed by a president. The MEPs are elected once every 5 years by citizens in each of the member states, and the number of MEPs for each country is set by the European Council, being generally proportionate to a country's population. And what is the function of the European Parliament? Well, the European Parliament has legislative, supervisory, and budgetary functions. In its legislative function, it acts as the co-legislator alongside the Council of the EU. Both the Council and the European Parliament receive proposals for laws from the European Commission, which they then have the opportunity to approve and pass. In very exceptional circumstances, the Parliament has the power to veto legislation. Additionally, the European Parliament decides on international agreements. It decides on the enlargements, which countries can join the European Union, and it can ask the Commission to propose certain legislation. In its supervisory function, it does a range of things, from democratically scrutinising all other EU institutions to examining citizens' petitions. It also plays a vital role in the finances of the EU, sharing the duty to set budgets alongside the Council. Let's move now to the European Council. The European Council should not be confused with the Council, the Council of Europe or the Council of the European Union. They are not the same thing. Instead, the European Council is made up of the heads of state or government of the EU member states, along with the High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy and the President of the European Commission. The Treaty of Lisbon in 2007 made this institution a formal institution of the EU and created the position of President of the European Council, although the institution itself did exist in some form before this time. And what exactly does this institution do? The European Council is responsible for defining the priorities of the EU and its political direction. And it's important to note that it does not have a legislative function. It also appoints certain EU roles, certain job positions, and it sets the EU's foreign and security policy. It meets at least twice every 6 months, so around four times a year, at meetings which are often referred to as European summits. At these meetings, they make conclusions which identify issues which need to be addressed and courses of action. If I mention Donald Tusk, many listeners will probably be very familiar with his name, and that's because he is the President of the European Council, and it is this particular role that is responsible for representing the EU to the outside world. Next up, we have the Council of the European Union. This is also known as the Council or the Council of Ministers. The Council plays a significant role in the essentially bicameral EU legislature, being a co-legislator alongside the European Parliament. Although it is made up of ministers from member states, the membership is not exactly fixed, as the ministers can change depending on what issue is at question. And what does it do? The role of the Council is to act as the final decision maker alongside the European Parliament on the adoption of legislation. The Council can also delegate powers to the Commission to enact regulations, and the Council shares budgetary powers with the European Parliament and votes on the annual budget. Moving on, we have the European Commission. The European Commission consists of a team, which is sometimes referred to as a college, and it has 28 commissioners. The team, or college, is made up of one member from each member state, and it is headed by a president. At the moment, this is Jean-Claude Juncker, another name you are probably familiar with. And what does it do? The European Commission is the independent executive branch of the European Union. It has the purpose to propose new legislation and to implement decisions of the European Parliament and Council of the EU. It also must implement EU policies and budget. Next, we have the Court of Justice of the European Union. The court system of the European Union is made up of two main courts, the European Court of Justice and the General Court. Together, they are responsible for the jurisdiction of the European Union and to ensure that member states are complying with EU law and are properly interpreting and applying it. The Court of Justice comprises of one judge per member state and 11 advocates general who assist them. It hears appeals on points of law from the General Court and it sits in Luxembourg. The European Court of Justice hears references from member states on matters of EU law. This means that when a domestic court needs advice on how to apply EU law in a particular case, it can suspend proceedings and seek clarification. Here, It formulates a question of reference and submits this to the ECJ. The ECJ considers the question and answers, responding to the domestic court, and the member state court must then apply the law following this particular reference. Additionally, the ECJ hears actions against member states who fail to meet treaty obligations, which can be brought by the Commission or member states against each other, and which can result in fines being imposed. The General Court, on the other hand, formerly known as the Court of First Instance, was set up by the Single European Act 1986 in order to ease the caseload of the ECJ. It currently has 47 judges, but this will be increased in 2019 to 2 judges from each member state. It hears a range of cases dealing with EU law at first instance, which are brought by individuals and not member states, with the option to appeal to the ECJ on points of law. It is also worth noting that there used to be another court called the Civil Service Tribunal, which ruled on disputes between the EU and its staff. However, this court, the Civil Service Tribunal, was dissolved in 2016, with the General Court taking over the majority of the cases. It is also important to point out that the European Court of Human Rights is not an EU institution, and we'll cover this separately in another episode when we talk about human rights. Next, we have the European Central Bank, or the ECB. The ECB consists of the President, the Vice President, and governors of national banks from all EU countries. It has 3 decision-making bodies: the Governing Council, the Executive Board, and the General Council. Its role is, of course, to deal with the finances of the European Union, trying to ensure prices remain stable and supporting economic growth and the creation of jobs throughout the European Union. It sets interest rates and manages many aspects of the euro, for example, the production of euro banknotes. And finally, we get to the European Court of Auditors. The European Court of Auditors consists of 1 member from each member state who are appointed by the Council for renewable 6-year terms. The ECA is the EU's independent external auditor, responsible for the financial management and compliance side of the EU. It has to ensure that EU funds are collected and used correctly, and it does 3 types of audit. These are a financial audit, a compliance audit, and a performance audit. So that brings us to the end of today's episode, where we've looked at the institutions of the European Union. This, alongside episode 34 about the history and origins of the EU, should put us in a really good place to talk about, finally, next week, EU law. This episode has included lots of legal English vocabulary, which you can find as a Podcast Pro member at studylegalenglish.com/episode35. And of course, if you're not a member yet, you can sign up at studylegalenglish.com/podcast-pro. So I hope you enjoyed the show, and of course, if you have any comments, feedback or questions, please do contact me at info@studylegalenglish.com or of course on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.